I know this is difficult, but where's the place of love in all this?
Well, what kind of love?
Yes. The difficulty is that love is so misinterpreted. We cannot understand true divine love.
The most comprehensive way of describing love is pure self-giving. And that's, oddly enough, what this doctor of music... I've never heard anyone use that word except myself, the self-giving, in that context. And he brought it out himself. He said that when a true artist either composes something or sings something composed by somebody else or plays it or something like that, he could only talk in terms of music. They are giving everything they've got. They're giving themselves. And that is essential to holiness.
So would you say God... I know one can't judge God's purpose, but in a way his purpose is to give.
Well, he gives himself, doesn't he? That is self-giving on the highest level. We get that stressed a good deal in terms of something that Jesus exemplified, didn't he? I can't remember now the exact words. You would know that better than I do now. Where self-giving without anything, without hope of gain through it at all, pure self-giving was one of the things that he did on the cross, didn't he?
This is self-emptying, kenosis.
Well, it could be that too, yes.
And as well as self-sacrifice.
Yes.
Combination of two things.
Yes.
But then all his teaching is based on it, isn't it? The Sermon on the Mount is based on this principle.
Yes.
Of self-giving.
Yes.
Love. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is the ultimate, really, in terms of both God and man.
Yes.
To learn this selfless giving.
Yes.
Pouring.
Well, if you can call it selfless, but if you give away yourself, that's what it is. You don't ask anything in return at all, simply because it is the highest form of, and the most complete form of self-expression, isn't it? And when a teenager first emerges and starts banging cymbals and things, as part of a service, for instance, that sort of thing they do, don't they? Mm. I think they are beginning to know what it is to... they're expressing themselves, and that's the beginning of self-giving.
So expression, even in a selfish way, is a beginning, a misguided beginning, but it is a beginning of how to express and give out.
Yes, yes. Ah. You see, I think that self-revelation, which is what God does, you can't ask why he does it, because until he does reveal himself, you couldn't ask the question. Self-revelation by self-expression as self-giving. Those three things to me are just three stages, in one process.
So one has to, in order to know oneself, one has to, as it were, express and learn through that expression.
Well, by expressing yourself in the wrong way, which is painful, you learn to express yourself in the right way. And if there weren't that pain, which has to be, which one regards naturally as evil, you wouldn't learn, would you?
No. Now, here's a really important thing, because if this is the purpose of God, self-revelation through self-expression, yes. This is also the purpose of man, then here is a very real cause of the trouble in the world, because repression of expression,
yeah,
is probably the most dangerous and evil thing, isn't it?
Well, it is, yes, because you're simply driving it into the wrong channels. Mm-hmm. I can see, I was in the army occupation in Germany after the First War, and even then you could see the seeds of Hitler being sown by this stupid way. Admittedly, it wasn't so much the British, but the French treated the Germans in occupied territories. You could see it building up, you know.
The misuse of power, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Power is the control of expression. But strangely, God does not impose his will on man, does he?
Well, there'd be absolutely... Well, there are many reasons why that wouldn't do, because then man could not be the image of God, could he? Unless it were absolutely free. Because what God does is freely undertaken, isn't it? God is not obliged to do anything except by his intrinsic nature, is he?
No. Well, how can man then achieve this control without repression?
Well, sublimation, isn't that the sort of thing they do in psychiatry, don't they? I don't know much about psychiatry, but isn't that something that they do? They don't really, you mustn't repress. You must channel it
onto
in some positive thing. Well, I mean, you can see it happening in the world. 100 years ago, the young man had to fulfill himself by fighting, didn't he? In a way, and he joined the army and so on, Napoleon's legions, and so on, you know, all through history. But today you find the same thing happening through football. I'm sure that these young people are really fighting in a less deadly way.
Now, this is also interesting, that man has this very aggressive instinct.
Yes, yes.
Which has caused so many problems. How can he channel that in the right way?
Well, it's the originating. I prefer to call it not aggressive, but the originating. The male is the originating principle.
Oh, yes.
And the female is the receiving principle. Well, rather like seed and soil. Where would the seed be without soil? Well, what would the soil be without seed? It is, you know, it's nothing. You must have the three things together. You've got to have the seed and the soil and the relations between them, which is a very important thing, the relations between them. And I think you can see, you know that bit I wrote about the theology of sex?
Oh.
And I tried to show there that you've got that absolutely through everything. You've got the originating and the receiving principles interrelated, indissolubly interrelated, produces anything complete, really. You could say, for instance, that when an inspired singer really lifts people up, in a certain sense a sex act. When a person is inspired, well, the Holy Spirit, the idea of the Spirit entering the Virgin Mary is the same thing. I mean, it's God inspiring. It's a sex act on that level, but we associate sex with the physical part. you rather degrade the whole thing.
Can you clarify that again? You see, there's so much confusion at the moment, turmoil going on about the two things which have been doubted, especially in high places, yeah. The virgin birth and the resurrection. You see, do they truly understand what is meant by the virgin birth and the resurrection?
Well, I doubt very much that they know what they mean by the virgin birth. I don't think it matters whether you can have a virgin birth in purely physical terms. But I do very much believe that the soul has to become virgin. You will regain its virginity in order to be inspired by the Spirit. The Spirit is masculine, the soul is feminine.
The soul in Mary was a pure soul.
Yes, yes.
The physical is unimportant.
No, the physical is utterly unimportant.
And what would you say again about this controversy of resurrection of the body as such? Again, is it holding it too low, on a low level?
I just quite don't know how to put it. But you know, people don't like being cremated because what is there to rise again? Well, whether it's bodies cremated or left to rot in the ground, it comes to the same thing. I don't see how this body can rise again.
But there could be another type of body which could be what would be called the resurrectional body.
Well,
or the glory body, I think St. Paul
yes.
calls it.
Yes.
The uncorrupt.
Yes.
Not meaning physical.
Yes.
Could you...
Well, I think you've said it. After all, the physical is passing, isn't it?
It's raised to a spiritual
yes,
body,
yes.
St. Paul says.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can go much more beyond that, can you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you would say, really, these questions are taken too literally when they confine them to the physical.
Yes, very much so. I think that is so.
But there's a truth in it.
Well, there is a truth, but it's not... If you limit the thing to the physical, it's like saying that the physical determines the spiritual, whereas it's the other way about, isn't it? The spiritual determines the physical.
But there's so much doubt, isn't there, at the moment, and questioning and...
But you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It shows that they're expressing themselves. After all, in the old days, people must have had doubts, but they were afraid of expressing them, weren't they?
So expression is
I think self-expression is the prelude to the right kind of self-expression. You must have the capacity to express everything before you can do the right thing, you know, bad, good and bad. You start by, well, we've said it so often, you must make mistakes in order to get the sum right. Mm-hmm. If you don't, if you hit the right answer straight off, it's a fluke. And that's nonsense, really. Mm. A fluke and it doesn't prove anything, does it?
I'd like to ask a question on a different subject,
mm-hmm.
If I might, because this has caused one or two problems, I think, within the fellowship.
Mm.
The question of reincarnation.
I can't see how, as someone who has absolutely no interest in, spends all his time pursuing worldly things, you know, how they can... I think they've got to come back and do their homework because they can't go anywhere else, really. They don't know anything else.
In this life or another?
In this life or another, yes. But I think... to use traditional language, we don't die and just go to heaven like that. It's a hell of a long...
Right.
Isn't it? I mean, you've got to work every inch of that passage.
Yeah.
You've got to climb the mountain.
That passage is not actually to go through the 80 years and 10 of this world again.
Well, I don't think it's necessary, but imagine yourself... I mean, there are people like that who are simply uninterested in anything except becoming something important, making a lot of money, becoming the prime minister or something, or, you know, getting to the top of the tree. Well, when they go to the next stage and have time for re-education, I think that they will probably say themselves, I must go and get the thing right from the start, you know. I can imagine that.
But presumably that is not within the context of another human life lived on Earth in another 50 years' time. But it has to be something different.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it, because after all, we don't yet know what other worlds are inhabited by para-human beings, or do we? We know so little about all that.
Right.
I think it's speculation.
Part of the hiddenness.
Part of the hiddenness is speculation, which is really doesn't lead anywhere.
You would say that the soul itself needs more than one life in order to develop its potential. It has to go through certain experiences to learn.
Yes.
And this takes more than just one life, whether it's on Earth or elsewhere.
Well, I would have said so, yes.
But that doesn't mean that someone who is very, very quick and responsive could not do it in one life if necessary.
Well, I would have said theoretically it could be done.
The life of Jesus, possibly.
Yes.
Or Buddha,
yes,
because I think Jesus was a special case, as it were, but Buddha and possibly the great prophets also learned their lessons, but got there very quickly.
Yes, I would have said that, yes.
Yes, very quickly, into a state of enlightenment. But until we reach that stage, we've got to keep coming back and getting the rough edges knocked off. And this is suffering, isn't it?
Yes, that is suffering, yes. Yeah.